Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for your blessings, for all that you've done for us. Father, for the opportunity to even share the gospel with others through the radio. Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service. Father, you know each need, each burden. Father, you even know what people are dealing with that maybe are listening. Father, you know maybe trials, tribulations they're going through, illnesses, whatever it might be. Father, we pray that you would look down and bless according to your tender will and mercy. Father, we pray again that you'd be merciful to the lost. Help us that are saved to walk close to you. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago we dealt with the book of James chapter 2 about how faith without works is dead. And what that means is it's not profitable. It's not beneficial. And that's certainly true. You know, in James 1, verse 27, it teaches us that, you know, that pure religion and undefiled before God is taking care of the widows and the orphans and their affliction and you know, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. And today we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 58, and there's going to be a lot that coincides with that. And, you know, as I've studied churches throughout the years, and you kind of look at what's going on out in the world, and you look at the churches, and you've always, it seems like you've got two types of churches. You've got some that are just like, well, we're giving to the poor, and we're about love, and we're about, you know, all this goodness and everything else, and they think that they're wonderful and right, and then you've got this other group that says, we hold true to the doctrines of God. We hold true to the Word of God. And yet, usually, you hardly ever have those both combined. And it's sad because being to one side or the other, the left hand or the right hand, is both wrong, scripturally. If I'm biblically correct, but I don't have the compassion of Christ, then I'm not fully fulfilling the will of God in my life. If I'm, you know, loving people as God would have me to love them, but I'm not telling them the truth that they need to hear, and I'm not, you know, sharing the gospel with them, sharing the truth of the Word of God, I'm also wrong, and even wrong to the place that people can die and go to hell, which is even a little bit worse. But both sides of that are wrong, and so many people don't see that both sides are wrong, that both sides are incomplete or incorrect. And you're going to see some of that talked about in Isaiah 58, and again, it coincides perfectly with James chapter 1, verse 27, going into James chapter 2, that it gets across the point to us that God doesn't want us to just join this side or that side. God wants us completely in His Word. He wants us to take wickedness out of our life, and He also wants us to help those that are in need. And have compassion upon people. And if we love lost sinners, then we share the gospel with them. And we're going to see all that together here in Isaiah 58. And I pray that it could be a blessing and encouragement to us. It says in verse 1 of Isaiah 58, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. And of course, God here, He's telling Isaiah, He says, listen, cry aloud. In other words, speak up. And then He says, you know, spare not, which means don't hold back. In other words, whatever I give you, Isaiah, you preach it to them. You tell them the truth. You don't hold anything back. And sometimes, you know, if preachers are not careful, they'll say, well, God gave me this, but they're not going to receive this. They're not going to accept it, so I'm not going to preach it all. And God's saying, you don't hold back, you spare not. You tell them everything I'm telling you to tell them. You know, a minister is supposed to be a messenger. And a good messenger, all he does is God gives him the message and he delivers it. Without respect of persons. without taking away from the message or adding to the message, just presenting it just as God said to present it. And that's what's being told unto Isaiah here. You cry aloud. You speak up. You tell them what I'm telling you. You pass it on that they may know their sins. He says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. Notice those statements. Man, that sounds good, doesn't it? Man, they seek me daily. Man, they delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness. Notice that statement. It's kind of condescending, isn't it? It's saying they're trying to put on a good show. But see, God focuses on the heart. Now, you'll notice here, if things are right in the heart, there's going to be an outward appearance of things being accomplished. Again, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You know, we're getting back to this place that God's saying, you know, if it's in your heart, it's going to show something. But you can just put on a show that there's no real change in the heart. And that's what we see here. He says, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask for me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. And God's saying, you're still focused on you. He said, you're doing kind of a show thing. And you think about in the New Testament how Jesus said there were some that fasted to be seen of men. There were some that prayed to be seen or heard of men. You know, we can put on a good outward show, but daily in what we do in our lives, it's going to really show the truth. Do I really want to serve God? Am I really following God? Now let me say this. If you're thinking about somebody else instead of yourself, you're missing the whole point of this message, and you're guilty of exactly what I'm trying to preach against, that God's burdened my heart with this message today. Don't dare look at somebody else. Focus on yourself. We got to get the beam out of our own eye to see clearly, to help our brother with the mote that's in his eye. And we first need to be focused on that beam. And that's what the Lord is trying to get across here. He says, you're going through some rituals, you're going through some motions, but there's no change inside. He said, you're fasting, but you're not accomplishing. He said, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. God's saying, I'm not accepting what you're doing because you're doing it for a show. You're doing it to feel like, well, you're better than somebody else. You're doing it as some ritualistic thing. God's not about ritualistic things. Now there are some great doctrines within the Scripture that God wants us to hold to. But He doesn't want us to hold to it because, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way it's always been. This is the way we've always seen it. He wants it to be done because it comes from your heart. Modesty is a very important doctrine in the Scripture. But if I'm modest just because, well, I want to be accepted by other ministers, I want to be accepted by the church people, but it's not really that I'm doing it to bring glory and honor to God, I'm missing the whole point, am I not? It's got to be for the right reason, and that's what God's trying to get them to see. He says, you're going through these motions, but you're not doing it to honor me, you're doing it to honor yourselves. And it kind of brings us to that, you know, Pharisaical mindset. You know, and the Sadducees and the scribes and all of them, that they were doing a lot of things, and Jesus said, don't not do these things. You know, you need to do them, but you need to do it for the right reason. And they were doing it to have some religious hierarchy, to have some religious praise, and to be seen of men and be admired by men, but they weren't doing it for the glory and honor of God. He said, you're still exacting all your labors. And he said, and you're doing this for strife and debate. And not for me. Not to glory God. He says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? It's a good question, isn't it? He says, this, the fast I've chosen? Let me ask this. Why do we fast? You know, there's several answers to that question because there's actually multiple reasons in the Scripture to fast. We fast first and foremost because, you know, we're wanting to put off sin. If I could deny myself of daily food, you know, just going one day without eating something, just one day. And I know you can fast longer than that. I know people that go on 40-day fast and think things of this nature. But what's the purpose of fasting? Well, we need food every day, don't we? Our body craves it. If I can deny myself, even for a short period of time, and certainly want to do it at longer periods of time when necessary, food that I actually need, that I actually stand in need of in my life, well, my goodness. When I have some type of lust or some type of other desire, some type of other sin that tempts me, if I can deny myself food, I can deny myself a sin. There's also a time to fast because you want an answer from God. You know, Daniel fasted so that he could understand the writings of Jeremiah. He wanted to understand some of the prophecies and things coming. So he fasted for a time. Jesus fasted, you know, for 40 days. You know, when he was trying to pick out the 12, even knowing which one would betray him and picking out that right person. You know, he was fasting for that purpose. There's reasons to fast scripturally. And it's all for the glory and honor of God if it's done right. And that's what he says here. He says, you know, the fast that you're offering me that's kind of ritualistic and all these other things, he says that, why won't you to fast? He said, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is that all I want you to do is just to afflict your soul? Or is it to bow down his head as a bull rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? You know, there's some people, and I look at this example here, and I think about the Muslims. You know, some of them pray in Arabic and don't even understand a word of Arabic. And they'll get their rugs out and they pray, you know, so many times during the day, and they're on their knees and they bow down their face to the heaven. They lift back up, bow down their face to the heaven. And this is basically what the Jews were doing here. Bowing down as a bulrush, that's a big bush, and you know how the wind would blow it down to the ground, it comes back up, blow it down to the ground, it comes back up. He says, is that what I've asked out of you? To bow your heads towards me? And just to lift yourself back up, to up and down, up and down? He says, is that what I've asked out of you? He said, wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Then God says, this is what I've chosen. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And that ye break every yoke, and that's yoke of sin, staying away from wickedness, staying away from, you know, the bondage and the traps of sin. But also, you know, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to help other people. He says, you know, these are the things I'm wanting you to do. I want you to deny self. I want you to honor me. I want you to show my love towards others. He said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. When we serve Him right, when we understand what He's wanting out of us. You know, I come across a lot of Christians and they'll be like this. They'll come to me and they'll be like, Brother Brandon, you know, I don't cuss and I don't drink and I don't do drugs and I don't do this. I'm going that good. But what are you doing? And you see that's what God's getting to here. I'm glad you're fasting. I'm glad you're praying. But you're not doing the things that I've taught you to do. Listen, it's good for Christians not to curse. The Bible teaches us not to curse. It's good for Christians to dress modestly. God teaches that. It's good for us, you know, to not go out in nakedness. It's good for us to not watch the filthy movies that are out in the world and the garbage that's put out by society today, or reading the filthy books that they might put out and things of this nature just for entertainment, and going out and being in drunkenness and all these other things. It's good that we don't do that. But if that's all we do in life is we don't become drunk, we don't, get involved in drugs, we're not coveting our neighbor's house, and we're not stealing from somebody, if it's just a thing of a list of things that we're not doing, is that all God's asked us to do? You know, I had a man tell me one time, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I pray for the lost every night." I said, "Well, that's good. That's good." But then I turned to him, I said, "But who have you shared Christ with?" And he looked at me real strange, and I'm going, "How can they hear except somebody carry the gospel to them?" I said, "God didn't tell us just to pray for the lost. He said, 'Go ye into all the world, preaching to all nations.'" He didn't just say, "Pray for them," did he? Put some work in. Praying's good, but prayer without work that follows that prayer is worth nothing, is it? If I see somebody that's caught up in rampant sin, and I just pray, "God, would you help them, God? Would you lead them out?" But I never, ever try to point them in the right direction. I never tell them the truth. What good am I going to do? Praying is good, but praying by itself is not good. If it's not accompanied with us sharing the gospel, us living the gospel, us working the gospel, it'll be, again, of no profit, won't it? And that's what God's trying to get them to see here. He said, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, 'Here I am.' If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity." We know how people can stick their finger forth and point at other people, and "You're to blame, you're wrong." Of course, we got that all in society. It's the rich people's fault, it's poor people's fault, it's mom and daddy's fault, it's this person's fault, and we won't blame everybody in the world except ourselves. Guess who's responsible for most of the results in your life? You. You are. We need to understand that. We need to grasp that concept, and God's trying to get it across to us. And he's saying, "You're doing this work or that work. You're helping the poor, but you're not putting off of the flesh. You're doing this work over here, but you're not doing this." And it's not a buffet. You don't pick and choose which parts of God you like. It's an all. It's an all deal. Either we're concerned about all the work of God, or we're really concerned about none of it. And we need to make sure that we're doing all the work of God. God said, "Love me with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." We can't do that if we're picking and choosing which parts of the Bible we're going to uphold. That doesn't work, dear friend. That's not how we honor God. That's not how we receive His blessings. And he's saying, "Listen, you'll call and I'll say, 'Here am I,' if you're doing all these things and not part." He says, "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday." Now, we're to care for the poor. Now, I'll say this, where I live, there's people that I know that are really not poor and really are not in need. You see the same people at the same red light or the same intersection or the same Walmart or wherever you go. It's the same person every single time you go. They're there every single day waiting for somebody to give them money. We know who those people are. They're not hard to find. But let me say this. There are people out there without their hand being stuck out for somebody to give them money who actually need help, who need a helping hand. There are people who want to work but haven't found a job. As Christians, we're to use wisdom, we're to use knowledge, and we're to try to help people. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews about entertaining angels unawares, because some, you know, entertain strangers at their house and some entertain angels unawares, what the Scripture says. There's people today that can watch somebody walking away from their car with a gas can, knowing they need gas, knowing they're broke down on the side of the road and they're still too scared to pull over, knowing that person's in need. It's not what God wants us to be. You see them taking a tire off, about to put the spare on, they might need a hand. Help people. God surely teaches us in the book of Proverbs to not help the lazy, but there are people who just need some direction. There are people who just need a helping hand, and it wouldn't take you long to figure out who is who. We need to make sure that we're doing the work of God. Because sometimes before we can share the gospel with somebody, we first have to let them know we care. And that's why the giving and taking care of people and doing things is a way for that. But if all I do is give them food and give them shelter, but I don't tell them about Christ, I've only done half the work. If I'm not upholding the gospel to them, if I'm not concerned about their soul, I'm not completely doing the work of God, am I? He said, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." I know right now we've got our border wall seems like it's got breaches everywhere. People just piling in, and that's not good for our sovereign nation. It's not good at all. Let me tell you this, we got a lot of breaches spiritually in churches, and we don't have near the zeal trying to fix them. We got people watching pornography. We got people cursing. We got people living in drunkenness and addicted to drugs, some prescription drugs, some drugs off the street. We got a lot of spiritual problems that we need to fix. If our country is going to be fixed, it's got to be fixed spiritually, getting people to Christ. And if we're not carrying the gospel to people, that's impossible to do. We can't just say we love them. We got to show we love them. We got to show that we love lost people. We need to restore those paths. And some of those paths have to be restored even within the church, even amongst saved people, don't they? Of how to walk with the Lord and how to honor the Lord. Because we got all kinds of people saying, "Oh, I'm of Christ," but they're living like the world. We need to fix those breaches. That's a lot more important than even fixing the breaches at our border wall. He says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." There's a whole lot of people when it comes Sunday, they got a lot more important things to do than honor God, don't they? Oh man, this ball game's on. Oh man, my favorite show's on. Oh man, we want to go fishing. We want to go hunting. We want to go shopping. We want to go do this. We want to go do that. And a lot of times we say we want God's blessings, but we can't even give Him a day. A day to focus on the Lord. a day to humble ourselves in His sight and to put off what we want for what He wants. Now, I know there's some people that work jobs that can't get off on Sunday, and I want them working there. I want our military, you know, available on Sunday. I want, you know, doctors to be there. I have to travel going to church, and I know there's other people that drive to church. Wrecks happen. You know, you want your ambulance drivers, you know. But as much as possible, when you get the opportunity, and God knows the truth of whether you're doing your own pleasure, whether you're just doing it because you have to, you know, or whether you're obligated at a job, God knows the difference. And any wise person knows those things. But I'll say this, there's a big difference between somebody being at an obligation, not something they've chosen to do, not something they just feel obligated to do, but it's an actual obligation, the ox in the ditch, so to speak. There's a big difference between that and I just wanted to go out and do something for myself. We also need to honor the Lord, don't we? We also need to put Him first. A lot of times people get more focused on what they want to do than what God wants them to do. You get the heart right, though, that takes care of itself. Dear friend, today what you see here in Isaiah 58 is God saying, don't just serve Me in some type of ritualistic way. Some people's rituals are, well, I take care of the poor. Well, I give my money over here and I help this person. I do this. But they don't put off of the flesh. They don't put off of wickedness. They don't walk in righteousness. They don't study to show themselves approved unto God. They're not edifying to the body. And there's other people that come to church every time the doors are open. But during the week, they never share the gospel with their neighbor. They never invite somebody else to come to church. They never, you know, are out there working for the Lord. They don't look out to see where a need is, where somebody that needs help, where they can show the love of Christ to somebody else. It's not one or the other. It's when we do all those things that we see the blessings of God. And sadly, as it's been throughout history, usually have churches that want to be one or the other. They want to brag about their giving. They want to brag about their love and their mercy. Or they want to brag about how strong we hold to these doctrines, how much that we dress right and how much that we live right and do all this. And you know, both sides are saying, well, this is more important. Well, that's more important. Both of you are wrong. All of it is important. And if we're not doing all of it, we're failing. And we're missing the blessings of God because we're not doing all things whatsoever He commanded us. He didn't say do some of it and I'll bless you. He said do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We need to make sure that we're living for the Lord. We're honoring the Lord, we're serving the Lord, and we're upholding those two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And the second is likened unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. May we not forget it. We pray this could be a blessing, encouragement to you today. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. We pray this could be a blessing to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good accomplished through it, let us step aside and give You the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.